Blog Talk Radio.
Doria, she made Doria not in me.
Good morning, good morning to everyone. Welcome to Hope Victorious, healing with people eternal. I am Reverend Wanda Martin Woodard, the CEO and founder of Hope Victorious. Thank you all for coming on in. Good morning to everybody. Sandy, you had a good time? You can't hear me? Okay. Let me just see. Oh, goodness. Oh, I know you did. I know you had a good time. I thought you said you couldn't hear me for a minute. I'm like, wait, I know everything is on. So on this morning, we're going to be talking about overcoming obstacles, overcoming obstacles, overcoming obstacles. Amen, amen. Good morning, Erica. How are you? Good morning. Overcoming obstacles on this morning. So I am, like, so super excited about the topic on today. Overcoming obstacles. We've been talking about Nehemiah, him rebuilding the wall, and how his tenacity, his zeal to get the work done. In spite of obstacles, in spite of challenges, in spite of things coming up against him, he is like, look, we are all out. We're doing this thing. We are rebuilding this wall. And I just love how he just loved on the Lord, how he prayed about everything. Every move that he made, he prayed about it. He just prayed about everything because he was so in tune to God and that passion that God has put in him to be able to do the work. So I am, like, so super excited. Let us pray before we continue. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We lift you up. We give you the highest praise, oh God. We thank you for today, and we thank you for every day. We thank you for moving and shaking things. We thank you for being here with us, God, when we feel like we are defeated. But you always make us know we have enough in us. We are not inadequate. We have enough to do the job. Everything about us is pure. Everything about it is clean. We just got to get up and do the job. God, I thank you for always fortifying us, for replenishing us, God. But most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, dying on the cross for our sins. You said in that word, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe that you have raised your son, Jesus, from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Amen, God. Oh, my God. I am, like, pumped about this word this morning. Good morning, Mom. So, on this morning, just talking about overcoming obstacles, overcoming those things that have us bound. And I've been talking about Nehemiah for the past couple of weeks. Look, I can't even put it down. You hear me? Because every time I go on to talk about something else, God be like, boop, right back, okay? So just talking about Nehemiah and how he has so much passion about rebuilding the wall, so much passion about how God set him out to do the work. But what I loved most about Nehemiah was that when he went out to do the job, he didn't tell everybody around him. You know, he kept a lot of things in secret only because he didn't, I guess to him, he just wanted everything to go accordingly, everything to go as planned. And sometimes you have to understand the job yourself before you even tell somebody. But then once he got everything together, he started to tell his team, you know, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And that's what I loved about him. And I am just, over these past couple of weeks, it just really just taught me how to even fight even more when God is giving you something and obstacles come up and monkey wrenches thrown in. Every time you turn around, there's a stumbling block somewhere, but to get up from that place and to keep on going, because if God is for you, who could be against you? If God is for you, who could be against you? If God's giving you that job, if he's giving you that task to do, then do it and do it well. Even when the enemy starts peeping his head in, say, you know, last week you talked about when Nehemiah told him, our God in heaven have given us, and we are going to have success. Like, it was no doubt in his mind that that job wasn't going to be successful. Like, it was not going to be successful in terms of him doing the work of the Lord. So he knew right away, because if God says he's with us, he's not against us, I know he's going to fight for us, and he's going to get that job done. Amen. So be encouraged on today. When the enemy come up against you and start throwing monkey wrenches and start throwing different things, or even sometimes we're our own worst enemy, and we're coming up against our own selves, telling our own selves what we can't do. Oh, you don't have enough credentials. Oh, you don't have enough resources. Oh, you don't have this and that. And you have to know without a shadow of a doubt that if God has given this thing to me, I can pull this thing off. Why? Because he's going to pull that thing off for you. Amen? So just know that God is with you. Just know that he is for you. Just know that everything that he's giving you to do, it shall come to pass. So get out of your head. Get out of your own way and just do the job, because I am so excited about his words, about the encouragement that he gives us, and because he is with us. Last week I said I was going to ask you all to put in the chat, because he talked about bold moves, making bold moves. How many of us have made some bold moves? I got a few phone calls about some bold moves people were taking or who have taken. So if you want to put in the chat a bold move that you have done on this past week, oh, my God, God is just so faithful. I tell you, and to those who are dialed in, good morning. Those who are going to watch the replay, good morning. We over, and the ones who have joined in live, good morning. We are talking about overcoming obstacles. Good morning, Dr. Seals. How are you? I told everyone to put in the chat, if they want to put in the chat their bold moves, what they made last week, because we have made some bold moves. Let me tell you, I made a bold move on last week. Let me tell you about this one, okay, before we get in it. So last week, so when I got here, I've been, wanting to join. I got to LA, I've been wanting to join in to serve the homeless, serve the ones who are unhoused, the ones on the privilege, just to be a servant to them. And before I had went out on last Friday, the Lord just dropped in my feet. He just told me, look, this is what you do. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is what I do. But sometimes you can forget about all the things that you have done, because when I used to be a missionary, it was still a missionary at heart, but I did that years ago, and I did foreign countries twice, and then I was over the food cupboard. Then I used to go to shelters on my own, and me and Dr. Sills had, and Renee Murchison, we went out one morning, it was Thursday morning, on Thanksgiving, this was years ago, back in the 90s, and we gave our sandwich, we gave our food to the homeless on Thanksgiving. And when I tell you, that was so, oh, my God, my sister Penny, we made the sandwiches that night, and Renee and Pam said they would go with me, and we went out and gave. And let me tell you, when we got finished giving out food, our hearts were so overjoyed just to see a smile on somebody's face, just to say happy Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? So when I thought back of all of those things, it was so much more that I had done in terms of being a missionary and feeding the underprivileged and visiting the sick and shutting in, things like that. I know I get that from my mama, because she is a missionary at heart. Since I was born, and could open up my eyes and say, Mom, she was doing the work. Amen. So when I got here, I called a couple of places, and the other door was shut. And I'm like, wait a minute, I can't even volunteer? I want to volunteer. I'm not asking for anything. And one person told me, you can come early. You can get in the line. Make sure you have your card. And I said, well, ma'am, I'm not coming for food. I'm coming to assist, to help. If you need someone to help you, give out the food. Okay, that door was closed. All right. Then I called somewhere else. That door was closed. And they said they'll call me back. Then they called me, and they called. I called them again. Let me tell you, I went until my son was like, Mom, why don't you build your own platform? Why don't you do your own thing? And I was like, okay. So I said, well, I really need to know the ins and outs here, how they operate here in terms of feeding the homeless, or, I just need to just get in with that just to see how things operate, because it may be different than how I did it in Philadelphia. So I connected with some great people, one Prosperity Market, with some women, great entrepreneurs, and they have vendors for people, for black farmers, to come and be able to sell their fruits and vegetables. I mean, it is so good what they had created called Prosperity Market. So I connected with one of them, and I called them, and they called me back, and they connected me with, it was 10,000 meals across L.A., and it was the launching of it. And I called She Rise Ford. I emailed her. Because it says to email her if you want to volunteer. And I emailed her. They got right back and said, come on, let's go. We welcome you. And I'm like, God, thank you. So it was several people collaborating with this awesome event. It was Chef Supreme from Concierge Kitchen. He's from Philadelphia. I didn't know that. Oh, my gosh. And Cherise from She Rise told me and connected with him and some other volunteers. And She Rise Ministry, I mean, not ministry, but She Rise Company gave. And also it was some other companies who gave. And also it was Kevin Hart's Kevin Hart Foundation gave towards it. So it was a collaboration. So when I tell you it was so bomb, y'all, it was so bomb. So it was down Skid Row, and it was amazing to see so many different people's smiles and joy and laughter that they had receiving the food, so grateful. And it just touched my heart. Oh, my God. So I just wanted to share that with you because that was a door that I couldn't open. I was trying to open, and I couldn't open it. But then when I kept going, because I know that's my call, I kept going. But the problem was that the door was shut because that wasn't the doors that I was supposed to go through. Now, the door God wanted me to go through was connect with them for the work that they're doing. And I'm like, oh, my God, God, when I tell you, he is so faithful. So the key was not to give up on that thing. Like my mom always said, go around another way to get to that thing. And my mom didn't literally say those words out of her mouth because my mom is more of an action person. Like she going to say a couple of words and then you just got to move out on it. Like one time Amaya had an audition, said, Mom, she got a call back and I don't know like how I'm going to get there. And then she says, you'll work it out. I mean, just those couple of words. Let me tell you, I got on the horn. I was here in California. This was a few years ago. I called one of my friends who lived here. I said, listen, could you take me? Maya got a call back. When my mother say work it out, she mean really work it out. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. She's only going to say a couple of words, and you got to move out on that thing. Amen? So what I'm telling you is that don't give up when God has given you something. Don't give up if he's called you to the job. And, yes, I know it's frustrating. Yes, I know we get weary. Yes, I feel like pulling my hair out. But I got to keep going and doing it. Why? Because he called me to it. When God calls you to do something, you can feel that fire on the inside of you burning. When God is telling you, when he's speaking to you, move out. And sometimes we close our ears to God because we don't want to hear, because we ain't trying to go in that direction. No, I want to go in this direction. But when God has given you something, when he has given it to you, you got to move out on that thing. So when the enemy start coming up against you, like last week we talked about when Sam Ballard and all his men came up against Nehemiah, he said, mm-mm. He said, first of all, you have no historic claim to this, and our Father in heaven has given us this, and we're going to have success. Like he knew it off the bat. We're going to have success for this because God has given this to us. I pray about everything that God has given to me and things that he has given to me. How do I move out? But it's so funny because I was sharing with Dr. Sill. Sometimes God may not tell you A, B, C, and D. You just got to do it. And those are the times where it's so difficult to me because I'm like, what? God, no. I'm used to you telling me I want you to do A, B, C, and D. But then sometimes in your journey, sometimes according to the season that you're in, where you just got to step out and do some things. Will it look scary? Oh, yes, it will. Will it look like it's crazy to you? Mm-hmm. It may. But you know God is giving you that thing where you could just step out and be like, I'm just going to jump out there. I'm going to take a leap, and I'm going to go for it. And I know if God is for me, who's going to be against me? Because he's with me. He's for me. He got this. He's going to back up the enemy right where he is, and he's going to move forward with me. So that's how I look at things, and I have to when God is giving you something. And you can see the enemy peeping his head up. Oh, yeah, you can see him, but, you know, don't even look to him. Look another way. Don't even be so concerned about him. Just keep on going. Because guess what? If you resist the enemy, he will flee, most definitely. That's scripture. So keep moving and keep going. Let me find the scripture that we're going to talk about on today. Oh, my God. I'm just so fired up on today because I'm so glad I did not give up. And down to that morning when I didn't have, and I had a location, but I had no signs that they were, no landmarks. And they would say, oh, maybe the tent is green. That's where you go. Oh, it's yellow or green. That's where you go. I didn't have none of those directions, right? But I kept going. So I told my son, I said, well, turn back around. Let's ride back there again and let's see what we see. And we went back and we looked. And when we found, it was a tent, and that's where the volunteers were. So I got out, and let me tell you, God will speak for you. Because when I got out, I didn't even have to open up my mouth. And the woman, Sharice, from She Rise Forward said, oh, you hear the volunteer? And I said, yes. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, oh, my, I mean, God will meet you. Didn't even have to even open up my mouth, you know, but he put something in her words and let her know that's a volunteer. And, oh, my God, so what I'm telling you, don't give up on that thing. Keep on reaching for the stars. Keep on moving out. Even when you feel a pushback, push in, you push in. Amen. So you feel that push out, push back, you push into that thing. Especially if God is pushing you, you push back for that thing so you can get where you need to go and be where you need to be. And it's so amazing when you do that. You feel so vindicated, like, yes, God, I did it. Because you know he pushed you through that door and to that job that he wants you to do. And we get all mixed up in our emotions and our feelings. We get all angry. Nobody called me back. Okay, they didn't call you back. Go to the next person. Go to the next person. Go to the next person, especially when you know what's in you. You can feel that thing in you. You can feel it burning in you. You can feel like Jeremiah, fire, like fire caught up in my soul. Like the song says, like fire caught up in my soul. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can feel that burning and that fire on the inside of you. Like Jeremiah felt that fire in the inside of him. So you got to move out on that thing and to that thing, even when sometimes your family may say, I don't think that's for you. I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should do this. Because sometimes family, I'm going to say it, sometimes family can be selfish. They can be selfish with you. And sometimes family may not want you to do certain things because it's like, oh, my God, I'm going to miss you if you go. I'm going to miss you if you do this or miss you if you do this because we've been doing this thing together for so long. But when God has equipped you to do something different, when he has equipped you to move on from that place, thing, situation, or whatever it may be, you got to move out on that thing. And I was so grateful to my mom because in my journey here, she didn't stand in my way. My sisters never stood in my way. My kids never stood in my way. My son was already here. My daughter was going to college here. She didn't care if it was mama coming or not. She was definitely going to college on the West Coast because something they talked about, we all talked about since they were little. But what I'm saying to you is that nobody got in my way, and I was grateful to that, that nobody was selfish enough to say, hey, I don't want you to go. I did have some selfish people, but they were like they were like, you know, you had your cousin. It was one of those long, 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 long down the line cousins, okay? Who said, why you got to go so far? Because my call is to God and not up to you. So I, you know, had to trust that in me, what God put in me, and to move out on that thing. Even when I felt like folk was going to be upset, because at the end of the day, when you stay and you stay stagnated and you know God is shifting you and you don't move out on that thing, whatever it may be, at the end of the day, years later, you're going to be angry with yourself, and then you're going to turn around and be angry with that person that told you to stay. Because guess what? Everybody's life goes on. Everybody's life is still moving and shaking. Everybody's life is they already doing their thing. And we're the ones who are so stuck because everybody else, they moved out, and we stay stuck, stagnated, and everybody else's life has shifted. The same folks that say, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't take that job. You shouldn't do this. Or you shouldn't go there and do this and do that. When you look up, they out. They gone. Mm-hmm. You call, they not even home. So you got to be careful who you listen to when folks tell you what they don't think that you should do this or do that because that's a selfishness within them. But then they turn around and do their own thing, and then you left years later. No, I ain't going to be angry with nobody telling me what I shouldn't have done or what I should have done, because when I know at the end of the day, when it's my Father that's speaking, that's who my call is to. My call is to him, not to those other folks. Mm-hmm. But I was really blessed in that situation with my mother, because she was like, she didn't make me feel like, and she knew it 2 years before I even left. She knew it years before I even left. But when I got closer to it, it was 2 years when she said, hey, man, I know you're praying about something, but you move forward. I'm staying out of the way. You and you got a prayer life. I know you and God is talking about some things, but she let me know it was okay. So she was not going to hold me back. Amen. She said, "Man, you got two sisters here." Pity a day. Oh my God. So what I'm saying, nobody stepped in my way. Everybody seen it because they know that's what I prayed about for years. So even when people that's closest to you may not agree with your change, they may not agree with your move, and you don't even always have to relocate geographically, but just you may just shift some things right where you are, and folk can't receive it. They don't understand it because you shifted from how you used to be, and now you're a different person from what they used to see and accustomed to seeing. But you have to be steadfast, unmovable, and even if it's geographically and God told you, then you move. Because when I'm telling you what's going to happen is you're going to be angry with yourself, first of all, and then you're going to wind up being angry with the person or people who said you should stay. So you got to search, because guess what? Planes still work, trains, cars, boats, whatever you may take to get that person. What's that song? You can reach him by the day. I don't care what you get there, and if you can. Yeah, so what I'm saying to you is that, let me just read this comment here. Let me see, can I read that? Dr. Phil said, some people are more comfortable with who you were, yes, and not who you are becoming. Say that, okay? Yes, some people are more comfortable than who you were than the person that you are becoming. Do that, yes, 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 and they are, and they can't get out of their minds how we used to be, how you used to be, how you used to act, what you used to say. So, and people can't. They just really can't. Some can't. But you have to be in a place where you can. Good morning, Michelle. Good morning, Sandy. You have to be in a place where you are like, I don't care what they say. I'm moving from this place because I know there's more in me, and I know who I am. Amen. Good morning, Jazz. I believe that's you. Oh, that's Pam. I'm sorry. I thought that was Jazz on here. Amen. Living with regrets, what? Yes, so hurtful. It really, really is. I'm telling you, it really is. Living with regrets is very, very hurtful. And some people today live with regrets because they just do. I'm not trying to live with no type of regret. And if I can fix it and if I can shift it, then I do. But there's one of the things that I know, that when you live in regrets, you can get up from that place and shift that thing and turn that thing around, so you won't be living in regrets. You don't be angry with yourself, most of all. Be angry with the person. And then sometimes we actually get angry with God because we feel as though, God, how did I get here? How did you shift my life like this? And I don't know how I got here. Mm-hmm. But God is not going to do anything to hurt you. And even in those difficult situations that we may be in, if you reach to God, his arms is not too short where he can't reach you. You got to reach up and say, God, help me out of this situation. Get me out of this situation. Let me tell you, God will deliver you and set you free and get you out of that situation. But you got to put the work in. You got to put the work in. And you can't always just sit there and expect, oh, my God, God's just going to open up that door for me. Yeah, he will. But guess what? You got to get up and you got to do your own work to get out of that place where you are. And sometimes we don't like to move from where we are because we want God to do everything. But you got to work out your soul salvation. You just can't sit there and expect God to hold. He's going to open up a door. No, you get up. You throw out applications. You start speaking. sought out the land like Nehemiah did. You go looking for that place where you need to be or fixing that situation. How about your mindset has to change? We don't look at our mindsets. We just want to get up and just go. Look at your mindset. Allow your mind to change. Your mind to change to fix you. So because when your mindset changes, you won't go back to the same way of living. You won't go back to the same way of operating when your mindset has changed. And another thing, you got to get out of that mindset of being around the same type of circle that pulls you down, the same type of circle, the same conversation you have when you get up in the morning. I have friends, when I get on the phone, like Dr. Silver, we talk about so many different things. And my mama, we talk about different things. Everything is not the same. The same conversation every day. The same mess every day. We ain't talking about that. We've been doing that. We're talking about something else. Mm-hmm. And that's where you have to be. And if you can't find friends like that, then just keep your mouth closed and just start talking with yourself, and God will start bringing some people that's positive around you. But you got to move yourself to a place where it's positive. And you got to come from that place of being stuck and stagnated. Even when you feel like you're stuck and stagnated, you have the power to get up from that place. You have the power. What does the word say? Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. You have the power to get up from that place. So don't think that you don't have the power. And when you get up, yes, something may try to knock you back down again, and you get up again. Then something else may come and try, but you get up again. After a while, and nothing won't be coming against you. Because guess what? You didn't push further than you were before you got knocked down. Mm-hmm. You see me? You feel me? Because I'm telling you, you got to get up from that place. Mm-hmm. When the enemy starts throwing things at you and he may knock you down, you get back up. Something else may come, knock you, may get a phone call, knock you down, pick you back up, pick yourself back up. Because every time that you pick yourself back up, when you look back, you didn't thrust farther than you were before you got knocked down those other times, because you're making progress. Progress is step by step. You got to keep pushing past that place. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Get up from there, because while you're feeling sorry for yourself, life then went on. It's getting ready to be December again. You know what I'm saying? So time is constantly changing, constantly switching and changing. I know I was like, Lord, I got to get to the scripture. Oh, my gosh. God, I thank you. I bless you. Oh, God is so faithful. I bless him because I know how that feels to be at a place where, Lord, you know, can I even breathe? Can I live? Can I come from X, Y, and Z? Can I move from this place? Because mentally my mind is warring against me. Tell me what I can't do. When I look, when I get up, I'm in the same situation. For an example, I don't care if you wake up and you feel like you're in the same room, you're in the same house, you're at the same job. Fix some things around, fix that place up, or put some flowers in there that you can constantly look at. You know, something that will bring you joy, something that would shift the room to be something different. Go to the dollar store and get some of those fake roses, those fake flowers that cost a dollar. And if you can spend $3 on it, put it in your room, put it in your house, put it in your car, put it in your workplace, put it in your bed, wherever you can put it so it looks like the scenery has changed some. So you could do stuff that's not even expensive, like $3 or a dollar, or take something or fix the room or change your couch around. Redecorate the house. Oh, my gosh. When I tell you, just so you can get yourself in a mindset of pushing forward, moving forward, something different, something unique that you can look at and say, yes, things is turning around for me. You guys are putting things in perspective like that, because when things is not happening and you don't see it shifting and moving, you got to shift and move. You got to move for that thing to shift. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the word right there. You got to move for that thing to shift. Yeah. From Nehemiah chapter 4. And the word of the Lord reads, verse 9 says, but we, our God, I love this. Wait a minute, hold on. I'm sorry, you guys. Okay, verse 9 says, but we pray to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. So they was getting threat of rebuilding the wall. So what Nehemiah said, he says, but we pray to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet these threats. So every time they got a threat, he posted a guard there. He posted a guard right there where they were building a wall around the temple. He posted a guard there to meet the threat. But see, he said, we pray to our God. And then he put a guard there to meet that threat. So when he prayed to our God, he knew that God was going to cover them. He knew God was with them. And he posted a guard there to meet that threat. So who was going to come up against nobody, even though they tried? Verse 10, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of our labor is giving out. And it is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Oh, glory. When I tell you, I'm just saying, they said the strength, they've given out. Because just like I said, we be so weak and weary sometimes and fighting, so weak and weary about winding up being back at the same place, being so weary. But you got to have a mindset to change. And sometimes we feel as though we need certain people to move forward. We need certain people to move forward. No, you don't. You need who God sends to you. And you know when you're dealing with somebody that's toxic, you know when you're dealing with somebody with so much toxicity. Yes, you know it. You really do know it. But we put blinders on and close our ears to it because that's all we know. But it's time for you to know something new. It's time for you to know something that's different. And it's okay. It may be a little scary, but you got to step out in that thing. But they said that they were weak. They became weak because it was so much rubble from the fire. It was so much rubble. Until they said, we can't rebuild this wall. And on top of that, the enemy was coming up against them, and they probably was tired of fighting. Now we're getting threats to rebuild the wall. We just weak and we tired right now. But let me tell you how Nehemiah stepped in and what he said. Amen. So verse 11 said, also, our enemy, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them. And put the end to the work. Let me go back into my scripture so I can find the other scripture to that one. Amen. That was verse 11. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to finish reading it. Verse 11. So verse 12 said, then the Jews who lived there, so that they said they will put the end to the work. So then they, and verse 12 says, then the Jews who lived near them came and told us over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. So they was hyping up the threat. Yeah, they was making it even bigger than what it was. So they said, they kept them 10 times over, they are going to rebuild it. So when you see us, we're going to be right there. So they was having major, major, major threats. So I got to find, okay, right here. So I'm going to read verse 13. It says, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest point of the wall at the express places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. Verse 14, which is my favorite right here. He says, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of them, remember the Lord, hallelujah, who is great and awesome and right and great and awesome. And fight for your families, he said. Fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives, and your home. So what I'm saying to you is that he said, fight for your families, fight for your daughters, your sons, and your homes. He told them. He said, don't be afraid. The God who's great and awesome is right there. Woo, God. When I tell you, when they came up and they were so threatened by the enemy coming against them, telling them that they can't do the work, they wanted them to stop rebuilding the wall, Nehemiah said, do not be afraid. Your God that's great and awesome is right there. So what he did was he stationed everybody on a different post. And you're talking about social distancing? Yeah, that was social distancing right there with the whole pandemic thing, okay? Everything is in the Bible. Just using my imagination. But he stationed them on different points, places, and sections, you know, according to your families. But he said,
children, your sons, your daughters, and your homes, always about us. We got to get up and fight for our kids. We fight for our kids. I don't care if your kids is grown. You're still fighting for them, amen? And sometimes we say, oh, they 18, they grown now. No. They still trying to find their way. So, yes, they need parental guidance. Don't tell me mine is grown at 18. They still need your parental guidance. Why? They still calling you, asking you for money. Uh-huh. They still asking to pay for their books. Uh-huh. They still ask, you still got to pay for their tuition. You got to pay for all. They still need you. And anything, they need some of your integrity, your morals, your values, so you can continue to pour into them. Look, I'm still on the phone with my mom, and I'm 57. I'm on the phone like, hey, mom, you know, listen, I need some guidance here. You always need your parents. So stop thinking that your kids is grown when they turn a certain age because they're not grown. I don't care what it says legally they grown, but when they still on your phone asking you for a couple of dollars, asking you for guidance, you still, you ain't grown. But, and even if you are grown with your own bills, with your own house, you still need parental guidance sometimes. Why? Because they see that they have more wisdom than what you have. So don't tell me about my kids being grown at 18. That rule is out the door. It's out the door. Because why? Because they still need you and they need guidance. And why would we just drop our kids off to the wolves? Drop them off to the wolves? Mm-hmm. So the wolves can eat them up? No. Mm-hmm. They still need a guidance. I don't know who developed that saying or whatever, but I know legally they may feel like they grown because of what paperwork say, but when you still eating from my table, when I'm still sending you money, I don't care if you in your 30s or 40s, if your kid needs help, help them. It don't matter how old they are. But he said, fight for your families. Fight for your daughters and your sons and your home. Fight. And guess what? They stood up and they fought. Amen. From that day, oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, I want to finish this thing. I'm just do verse 16. From that day on, half of the men did the work. Yes. While bears, yes, Lord, shields, bows, and armor, the officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah. Woo! Who were building the wall. Those who carried the materials did their work with one hand held on the weapon. Go ahead, God, and the others. Woo! Let me tell you, God is so, so faithful, y'all. When I tell you he is so faithful, I want to keep on reading, but when I tell you next week we'll continue, we left off, God is so faithful, but they kept on building. Why? Because they had a leader to tell them God is with us. Don't be afraid. God Almighty is so awesome. He didn't already did it for us. He's protecting us. When you have, that's another thing, be careful of who's leading you. He had a great leader. Nehemiah was an awesome leader. I came from Nehemiah before, but I know I only got a couple of seconds left. Oh, my God, so glad y'all joined me all today. So keep fighting because Nehemiah, oh, my God, he had a mind to work, y'all, and he fought against the enemy, not physically, but spiritually. That's another thing. He didn't fight physically. He fought spiritually. Amen? Because our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God are pulling on the strongholds. So don't always want to go to fight somebody physically. You fight them spiritually. If God is for you, he can be against you. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God are pulling on the strongholds. You fight the enemy spiritually, and that's what he did. Every time the enemy came against them, he wasn't all up in this and protected everybody who was on that job and doing the work. But then he found another way for them to do it. Some stood and watched and guarded the work, and some rebuilt, and they shifted, took turns. Let me tell you, he had everything covered. But look at God. God sent all the resources that he needed. And before he even left to go to Jerusalem, he left with nothing. He didn't have no materials. He had nothing, no resources. But God provided everything for him when he got there. But before he even left to go, God told the king, who he worked for at the time, to provide him all the resources. Nehemiah opened up his mouth and asked, and guess what? Sometimes we're afraid to open up our mouth and ask. We're afraid to ask different things. I'm forever asking questions. I'm forever asking. I just talk. No, because things that I need, if one of my mother always said, a closed mouth don't get fed. Mm-hmm. So you close your mouth, you ain't going to be fed. Mm-mm. Amen. So you got to open up your mouth. Oh, my God. And how about the squeaky wheel gets the worm? That's what my mother told me, too. Okay. All right. So I'm getting ready to come off of here. Go back and listen to the replay. This is so awesome. We're going to continue next week. I have a guest next week, which is Erica Williams. So excited about her joining us next week. She has some fabulous merchandise. She just want to share, but I am going to continue with this because I got to close off with this. I got to close it out, y'all. Oh, my God, this is so bomb. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you and we bless you. We thank you, God, for the courage that you have given us, God. We thank you, Father, and we feel like we depleted when we are in trouble. You right there. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for you, God. You are refuge and strength. And the time of trouble. We thank you, dear God. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. Touch everyone that's on this call on today. We ask that, God, Lord, you would touch and heal and move, God. Go before Marisha and her family, Father God, my cousin Marisha, the whole Nelson family. Go before of the passing of her mother, Carolyn, my cousin on today, Father. We pray for healing right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, you would just heal our family. Heal Marisha and her daughter, Father God. Heal the whole family, God, in the name of Jesus, God, for the losing of her mom, Father God, the loss of her mom, God, Carolyn. God, we do thank you, God. Give them strength right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch everyone that's on this call, God. Touch our families, Father. Do it right now for your glory, Lord God. Touch the Wilson family. Touch Marlene Hardy. Touch those who are on this call, Father God. Those people who are going, who have lost, those who are grieving, those who are mourning, God. We ask that, God, you would touch, God. Those who need healing on today, touch right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We bless your name, God. We bless your name, God. Allow us to have courage to move out in that thing you called us to move out in, God. We're calling on you, God. Even when we don't see a shift, God, we know it's already in the atmosphere. We know it is already happening, God. And we do thank you, God, and we glorify you. Multiply our finances, Father God. Hallelujah, God. Allow us to prosper with prosperity, Father God. We with wealth, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Most of all, we thank you for your son. You've died on the cross for our sins. You send thy word, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe that you have raised your son Jesus from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Go in peace. Know God is on your side. Know that he loves you. He cares for you. And he is all of that. Amen. Amen. Just trying to read it. Hi, Terry. How are you? Amen and amen. Hi, Lib. Hi, Cousin Lib. How are you? Good morning. Amen. Hi, Mary. How are you? Hi, Evangelist Pickett. Hi, Michelle. Hi, Dr. Seals. Just want to make sure I don't miss anybody here. And Sandy. Amen. And Mom, Erica. Amen. So go in peace, you guys, and move out on that thing. We talked about bold moves on last week. Bold moves on last week. So make some bold moves, y'all. I love y'all, and I see y'all soon. Again on next Tuesday. All right. Bye-bye.